Cool. Hi guys.
Oh, is this on?
Is there a red button on? Is there a red light on?
Well, it's making
waves. Oh, there you go.
It's making waves.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Cool. We're back after many weeks of just.
Has it been many weeks?
It has.
Many weeks of life. You were ill.
Other stuff on.
It was half term.
Yeah. Just things happen. But we're back now. And it's sunny and we're outside.
It's amazing.
I'm very much, you said yesterday, it's like you sort of forget that this is what half of the year is like.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll feel completely different in a few weeks when all the foliage comes out again and you get another sense, I think, of like, oh yeah, I live in like greenery for half the year. And
I'll probably feel very different again in late March when it decides to snow and be minus 12 again. But
no,
that's
I
just
don't
me
think
being pessimistic.
No.
Yeah, well, you know, you say that.
No. I've seen snowdrops out.
Yeah.
Our bluebells are nearly out in the woods, aren't
they're
they?
Growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready to be completely turned over in the kindergarten.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of weeks off and they've grown and the kids are coming back on Monday to trample them all.
No, they won't. They'll look after them.
Yeah. But that's not what we're talking about. We are this week going to talk about sort of tips and tricks and thoughts about home ed and home ed forest school and our sort of experience with it. So, do you want to pick any of those things on the board? Is there anything? I wrote some things on a board and...
We've got a little mind map going on today.
Yeah.
Can I start on a personal note?
Yeah, do it.
So, my personal journey of my views and experience of home educating families. So, coming from teaching in the state school, teaching English and drama, and not having any children of my own for quite a few years, if you'd asked me what I thought about home ed, I would say, I don't really think it should be allowed. I think maybe it should be illegal to do that because who are these weird people anyway? And why aren't their kids at school with all the other children, mixing with the future community and their peers, etc., etc.? And then I actually met some home educating families. Well, before I met home educating families, I left teaching for many reasons, but one of the reasons being I didn't like the way that education was going, and I didn't like the way that it was completely inflexible for children who it didn't suit. And then I met some home educating families and spoke with them about why they were homeschooling, and now I would say it's probably fair to say that I, on a weekly basis, go, oh, maybe I should be homeschooling.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be. It probably would be better, but maybe it wouldn't. So I have completely flipped my opinion of it, and I find it absolutely fascinating. I really love working with the families that we work with, and enjoy talking to them about their experiences of, you know, their journey of how they got there and also what they do. I'm very interested in what they do on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
you know, what are their lives beyond their time with us.
Once you get through, like you're saying, that kind of media image of home educating people are either ultra religious or ultra sheltered or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when you realise that if someone's kids are at school, there's maybe some difference, but potentially less difference between a primary school in the middle of Leeds and a primary school in the middle of Devon.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the point of state schooling and that is that, in theory, it's a broad but shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk to home educating families, because you can do, you know, unschooling, or you can do, you know, everything from unschooling, which is, for people who don't know, the complete, like, child-led, whatever you are interested in. If you want to watch YouTube videos of roller coasters for 9 hours a day, that's what you do. You really indulge their passions. And then there's, I would say, the other end of the spectrum where it is essentially school but in your home, and it's lots of families we know sometimes use workbooks
or even bring in tutors
go
to other people's houses,
and it's
lots
all
of
completely valid. It's all home ed, and it's just a case of saying, isn't it, like, once you someone says home ed, yeah, like you say, a few years ago I'd have gone, oh right, and assumed I knew what their life was like, whereas now I've got so many more questions to ask and go, oh, how are you doing this and what sort of groups do you go to?
Yeah.
And I think I also had this similar experience where teaching first and then having children, and again, leaving teaching before I had... Did I leave teaching before I had...
Yeah.
I did, yeah. Yes, because I had them when I was here. Well, I didn't have them. I was barely involved. but yeah, it's that experience of teaching and state schooling from the teacher's point of view, which not many parents have. And I think actually lots of parents that we talk to who are teachers have some qualms about it and kind of sit on the fence. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about home ed forest schooling and how we kind of... So did any of those jump out on the board to get back to where we were 10 minutes ago?
We have something on the board that says working with children who have always been homeschooled versus those who have left school. And that really interests me. Because people are coming at it from different reasons, aren't they? And therefore, they might have different expectations of us and what they want, and you know what they want their child to experience. So, I would say a high proportion of the children that we happen to work with have left school because
negative experience of some in some way.
It hasn't and it hasn't worked out for them because it hasn't met their needs. So. Children with additional needs for whom school just couldn't work. And so then you've got a few children who either have always been homeschooled or have left school just because their parents are like, nah, I'm really happy with this. I think I can do it better. I think we can give my child a more positive experience. So I think if I was going to give advice to a person setting up a home ed forest school group, I would say... just be prepared for potentially higher levels of additional needs within the group, because that is a large reason of why people are home educating at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily through choice, actually. There are some people who, if there was the right school environment for their child, they would be there.
But sometimes the right school environment is forest school.
Of course.
So that's one of the areas that brings people from home educating here, is that this is the right, and if like you're saying, there are certain families and people in home ed communities who I think would agree that if schooling was more like this, they would be happy with state schooling.
I would say that would be something in common with all our families, actually, who are home educating. They would probably all agree with that. Myself included, but obviously that sort of goes without saying. That's why we're doing it, really. But for some families, it might be we would love to give our child this kind of experience, maybe like of a kind of a sort of bushcraft thing, you know? It's like, we really would love our child to be outside in nature learning these skills, like these bushcraft skills. And for some families, they would admit, actually, it's respite. It's respite for me from home-edding this child, and it is a free space for them where it is all about play and it's about socialisation and... being outdoors and not having a rigid structure. So it's kind of hitting that balance, isn't it, I guess, of giving them that space but also giving them time. You've written
to my thought on the children who've always home-edded versus children who've come out of schooling for however long they have been there, my thought was how they interact with you, their relationship back to you is. So we've had some children who come who have almost, you know, stopped school on Monday and have started coming to us on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's that stark of a change, and for them it can take a little while to get hold of. You know, what do you mean? There isn't really a lesson today, and
what are we doing next,
and that sort of passivity. But also on the other end of the spectrum, there are some children who've never been to school, and where you might expect to be. I think I found it quite humbling, sounds too grandiose. It made me consider a lot what I was expecting, because when you're a state teacher, you walk into a room of children. They might not be your class, they might not be your... it could not even be your school, but there's an expectation of like, well, I'm an adult. Like, look at me, I'm an adult and I'm clearly a teacher. So if I ask you to stand up, you should stand up. Mm-hmm. And there's that weird thing that is almost like embedded in you in teacher training of like, command the room and do those things.
Yeah.
And so that transfers over a little bit, I think, when children come from schooling. They just look at you and go, oh, you're the adult, you must be in charge, blah, blah, blah. Whereas children who've always been home educated or not really been in that environment, they, I think for me, gave me a real reality check, because some of them would arrive and almost go, well, why should I listen to you?
Yeah.
You haven't proved that you're useful yet. You haven't we haven't got any sort of relationship. And at first I was very much like, oh, well, how dare you? I'm the adult. This is the thing. And then you go, no, this is a much more healthy way for a child to approach the world, to go, well, I don't know you, so I'm not going to just jump when you say jump. I'm going to assess this properly. Yep. And that's something that I think some people that I've talked to who run forest school sessions struggle with, is if they do predominantly do school sessions and then they start doing home ed groups for whatever reason.
Difference.
And they go, oh, they're, you get people go, oh, they're crazy, they're off the walls and they're doing whatever. And you go, well, do you mean that? Or do you mean they didn't all stop and sit down and do the circle for 20 minutes while you did?
And do you mean that they had the confidence to tell you, no, don't
I'm not interested
I don't want to do that right now. Which is, it's a much more of a learning community feel, isn't it? And we do a home ed families group with parents and carers coming along as well. And then we do an all day home ed day just with the children without their family. And I think that vibe continues. One of the reasons I really love the family group is because that vibe continues with the adults and the children, you know? Yeah. There's a kind of spirit of, we're all just here, we're sort of like hanging out. And it's so kind of spontaneous, and you can't really, you know, when people are always talking about planning with forest school and like, how much do you plan and what do you plan and what do you do when you're, and they don't want to do your plan. Like, it's the most, You can't really plan.
Well,
like we do talk about it a lot, don't we?
We do.
How do we structure that group, and what do they need? And we're constantly reflecting about our home ed group, I think, almost more than any other. And there are some things, I really like the thing that you've just put into place about the contributions, which I think actually came from
I stole it from Deb.
Deb Miller.
As was
so
many things.
Thanks,
Deb Miller. From Deb.
Starting the group with contributions to the site, basically, so whether that be collecting firewood or laying wood chip on the paths and things like that. So there's a list of
general forest upkeep, maintenance, things that need
doing. Like lay out the cups so that everyone can have a drink halfway through, and they're on the board as people arrive. And I think that gives a really nice structure to it, and a kind of focus for those people who need a bit of a focus at the beginning, adults included. So it's sort of like, okay, great, I'm gonna go off and do this, I'm gonna go off and do that. But sort of beyond that, it really is like, you know, you go, oh, I'm going to do some cooking if anyone wants to play. And you may get like one person joining in, and you just have to be completely cool with that. So
no, I would challenge that.
Would
and
you?
I would say that that is our take on how we want our home ed group to run.
Okay, yeah.
Based on, we home ed more so than other things. Like I was saying about, you know, primary schools being the same almost wherever you go. Home ed communities are very different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have ended up there in terms of, you know, oh, it's very casual and we all help out, and because that's what we want it to look like, and that's what the parents who come want it to look like. But I fully appreciate that there are some forest school settings where you... So I know a lot of forest school home ed groups follow the John Muir.
Yes.
Which is more structured.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is more... And you'll get different families. And we have had families come here and really try and... You know, sometimes it's more the adults than the kids.
Yeah.
Try and push... Right, well, are they pushing on with some woodcraft... bushcraft today? Or they're going to get some firelighting in and all that stuff. And in a different setting than ours, they might... get that they might get it's 20 minutes of firelighting, then we're going to do this, but it's like all our groups, isn't it? You have to go, well, who are Lewis and Gemma running this group? We are two people who are immensely interested in play and free child-led development, whereas you could run a very effective home ed group that is,
of course,
you know, I have a skill, I'm going to teach you that skill, and on we go. So I just wanted to offer the other side of not to say that is what all home ed communities want, and if you do that, that's the magic ticket.
Yeah.
I really like
when we've had the parents engaging in the activities as much as the children, but very separately, you know. So you might have a parent and toddler group where, you know, you've set up an activity and you've said, you know, anyone will come and play with this. and the parents go, oh, I might have a go as well, is that all right? And you're like, of course, like, have a go. But in the home ed sessions, what I really love is when the kids, you know, the children are off doing something with you, for example, and then you've got several adults sitting around doing some weaving, and it's completely separate to the children, and it is as much for them as it is for the children, and I really like that. I think it's a nice kind of learning community, I guess, and play for adults as much as for children.
Yeah, I think so there's another bit on the board where I put parents' expectations, which I kind of, I think I already covered in terms of, but the tip that I would give to people who are either starting or thinking of starting home ed forest school things is to be, it feels really false sometimes to be overtly verbal about something that after a while will become intrinsic and unspoken.
Yeah.
So to start the sessions by going, we're a community and we're going to do this, and this is, just so you know, this is why I'm going to do this, and this is what, and in 6 months' time, you don't verbalise that. There is just a feeling of community, or there's just a feeling of... But like when we started doing the contributions at the start, I knew I had to stand there at the start, and as everyone came in, one by one, explain what and why, so that's how... You know, you don't just... I mean, you can naturally arrive at a culture, but you'll end up with so many speed bumps along the way rather than just going, this is... And that then sort of disassociating... yourself, what you're offering is from anything personal about you and yourself, to go, this is the offering that we provide, and as long as you've got enough to put bread on the table, I don't take it personally when families kind of go, oh no, we enjoyed coming, but or even no, we didn't particularly like it, and I go, that's absolutely fine. The job here is not to it's mental to think that you could look at a community of people who have taken their children out of or completely removed them in any way from state education because you go, we don't think one size fits all. And then for you to go, oh, but I've got a forest school where it does one size fit all. Yeah. What a mental thing to think. You have to look at home ed and go, I'm just offering an offering, and it might be good, or it might, you know, it might not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely cool.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that I do want to think about was talking about children coming out of school and the school age and development. And I think both being ex-teachers, we've got quite a strong sense of when a school makes a booking or in the kindergarten, that we can go, oh, there will be children who are 7 and 8 years old, and you can make a judgment in your head and go, right, they'll probably be there developmentally, and they'll probably be interested in this, and their physical capabilities will be this, this, and this. Whereas with home educated children, I feel like I've had to completely throw that out the window and just go, that's why. So we sometimes talk about how difficult it is to assess whether you can meet a child's needs when they say, oh, can my son, daughter, dog come to forest school? And we go, oh, I'm really not sure. Whereas I think if you're in a school, you go, well, they're 7, we have a classroom set up for 7-year-olds, we know what the national curriculum is at 7, fine. At home educating children, some children are 7 but can whittle better than I can, or can tell you everything about the Roman Empire, or but maybe have a I think what state schooling does is holds everybody back at the same level.
I don't know.
That's just
true.
The way that I think
about it. I know what you mean. Sorry to jump in, but I just wonder if it's the same thing that you're saying, but actually it's our conceptions of the children. So you've got 30 kids, you don't have room in your head or in your day to accept that actually one child is there and one... Of course you differentiate, but do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I think the difference that I would say is when a group of school children arrive, that idea of we're all being held behind the same line, I think maybe what I mean is I have a pretty good idea of what experiences you all will have been through and that you will have been able to... That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say you will have been able to devote a certain amount of time to certain things. Mm-hmm. So if a child's really into dinosaurs and they're at school, I think... Oh, I'm trying not to, like, say anything... horrendous. I'm pro home ed.
Yeah.
There you go. But I would say at school, you could be really into dinosaurs, but you can only devote, when let's say a kid get home at 4, dinner's at 6, and probably bed not long after that. So you've got maybe 2 hours that you can devote to learning about dinosaurs.
Except you're knackered.
Right?
You don't do any of it.
Okay, right. In a different context, a child who's really the same passion about dinosaurs but home educating can arrive and go, I have spent the last 300 hours watching every Walking with Dinosaurs and I've been to the Natural History Museum. Do you know what I mean? They can arrive with such different experiences.
Completely.
That you can no longer say...
You can't make a generalisation.
You can't make as many generalisations. Yeah. Whereas school children,
you
can say, right, I bet you've all had some experience of team games, learning the rules of a new game and playing that game in PE by the time you are in Key Stage 2.
Yeah, yeah,
no
yeah.
questions about that. But a home educated child might not have had that experience because they, you know, it's...
I get it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I would also say that some of the home ed kids have surprised me in their play because they have the freedom to develop at their own rate.
Yes.
Some of the play that I see much older children doing, I would usually associate with younger children. Does that make sense? And that's not to say that it's wrong or that I go, oh. But it challenges my preconceptions of, oh, a child about that age, as you're saying, will probably be playing with this and probably will have stopped playing that kind of game.
Well,
and
so I wondered about the stopping being part of the school system, peer pressuring of like, when I was in year three, the year five children weren't playing cowboys.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to year five, there's this weird like, you shouldn't be playing cowboys because that's
so
not
babyish. Yeah.
Whereas home educated children, they're just
children.
Cool. Yeah. Do it. You know, especially going back to the parents' expectation thing. Some parents might go, no, we're going to move on and we're going to do this sort of thing. But I think more often than not, home educating families go, if you want to go and play a cowboy, go be a cowboy. You'll be a 12-year-old, and they just learn inside of that framework.
Yeah.
You just go, okay, cool. You're going to learn about the Old West and learn about the, I was going to say conquering, what a horrible word. Mm. The thing that happened when white people arrived in America. And all of that. And you just learn inside that context.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where I've, because I've written passion projects on the board. And maybe that's where I was going when my experience potentially is that children who are home educated have such a drive for whatever they're interested in, that sometimes it's fantastic because you have to do so little and you go, oh my god, brilliant, let's go and build that, let's go and take that over here. You want to make a secret language up and draw it in charcoal on a piece of birch bark, that is incredible. And sometimes you have other children who go, I really do just want to get the saw and cut this tree, and you go, right, it's 4 foot across, we might not be able to go, no, I'm going to get the saw and cut this tree. Like, it's both ends of the spectrum. It's you know, they're passionate but they're And I'm saying they, I'm grouping a big group here, and I'm doing the thing I said we shouldn't, I just said you can't lump everyone together, but, you know.
Yeah, that's our experience.
Do you think there's anything that, so we've been doing home educating groups for quite a few years now. If you picked up and were dropped in another part of the country and had to home ed, set up another home ed group, is there anything you think you would do first? Is there any
In terms of the way you'd run the session or the terms
both.
You'd
both. I think one of the first things I would say anybody should do is it's go on Facebook and look up all their local area and just put home ed after it. So for us, we're in the Mid Devon, and there are, that I'm aware of, there are probably other ones that I haven't found, a Tiverton home ed group, an Exeter home ed group, a Honiton home ed group, a Mid Devon home ed group, a Devon home ed group, you know, all these groups. And I would just advise people to sort of lurk in there for a little bit. Look at what's being posted. Look at the prices people are charging. Look at who's active in there, because although they might not be your customers that stay on for years and years and years, they are the easiest ones to gain. They're the easiest community because they're giving you access. Whereas you might need those people to come to start the word of mouth, which then brings you the families that stay with you for years and years and years.
Yep.
What about sight-wise? Do you think there's anything sight-wise that you go... We do a lot of cooking with the home ed guys, I feel.
We do a lot of cooking with them.
I mean, we do a lot of cooking with everyone. Maybe we're just a cooking forest school.
Well, I think lots of forest schools do a lot of cooking. There's something about communally preparing them.
Yeah, but we've got a cookbook.
Oh, yeah.
And cookery courses.
And a dragon oven.
And a dragon oven. Right, anyway, yeah. plug.
I was just thinking about how... There's nothing to do with what you've just asked me.
No, that's fine.
But I was just thinking about how driven by play the whole home ed days seem to be in a... I'm just thinking about, like, as you said, we've done it for many years, and I was thinking about some, like, memorable moments.
Mm.
And every time we kind of go, oh, maybe we should, like, do this bushcraft skill with them, or maybe we should do this, like, art project, or maybe we should, like, set up that thing as a cafe over there, and, every, you know.
Oh,
it always just kind of goes... But it doesn't matter, because, actually, it's so much about spontaneous play, and I would say that, you know, that kind of forest school leader play worker thing, I feel like a lot of the time it's going down the playwork avenue. Some of the greatest memories I've got anyway of working with our homemade kids have been like times when we've made some pretend lanterns and gone off on an expedition through the forest.
Oh, yeah,
and all
I remember
those,
that.
You know, like
that
whole
was entirely
days
fantasy,
where
yeah.
we were part of the role play.
Yes.
And that's what they wanted to do. And then sometimes we'd go, okay, we're going to like step back now and just like observe and just watch. But it was about... You know, and you'd go, hey, we could make this really cool thing. And they're like, yeah, cool, whatever. I'm just going to go off here. And it's so, you know, the whole day can be spent in these play cycles, which is something that you, again, would normally see in early years because that's the only place really that has the space and the freedom to do that. But it's really fascinating to be with kids that are sort of 9, 10 years old in there, you know, the whole day. Oh, actually, there's nothing that you have to do except keep yourself and other people in the environment safe apart from that. Go for it.
Eat, but not even, you know, not all of them even do that. Trying to pull someone away. Yeah. It is 2 o'clock now. Would you like to eat anything today?
Yeah,
no,
come on.
Still a soldier.
You're going to crash. Eat. So I think I would say to somebody, be prepared for that. So you might have all these ideas about like, oh, well, the parents probably expect me to, you know, have some finished products at the end of the day to take home or have some skills that I have, you know, because you would think as an outsider, you'd go, okay, these children have been coming to this forest school every week for 3 years. They probably are going to be expert firelighters and pretty proficient with knife work, but they actually aren't because...
Some schools would be.
Yeah, some
forest schools would be.
Ours,
our children aren't.
Ours aren't, but if you look at the... you would never, ever deny the progress they have made in many other holistic ways. So you wouldn't
think,
be able to chart their progress in firelighting going, now they can't do this. But lots of, as you say, lots of people do that. And there's a Bushcraft Award as well, I think.
There is,
we were talking to somebody about that.
I was going
to
say that's a tip not just for home ed, but I think for anyone who wants to run forest school more in line with being a play worker is... And actually, I was talking to someone. Someone came to visit our site, who's Wildwood in Wiltshire, and talked to the lady there, and talked her through what we do, and showed her around our site and everything, and did a bit of sort of business mentoring. And I said one of the most effective things we do is because we're not somewhere that goes away with children. With like you know, when children leave school with like a project that they've made out of clay and a rolled up painting and a thing, and they can't carry it all. And our children go home with, I was going to say something really arty then. I was going to go, they go home with nothing but a smile. But that's not what I mean. What I mean is that there's no tangible thing.
There is sometimes, but seldom.
But what I would say is that our social media is then what tells a story. Because...
Yeah.
We then put up loads of photos that go, look, we were Roman soldiers for this, and then they went and did this, and actually for a while they tried to build this, and then look at it falling down, this was great, and all that intangible stuff is so much more valuable than like, oh, they all went home and you know, and if we had children, and we have sometimes who want to just do firelighting every week, and we've just done firelighting every week.
Well, it's about trusting the child, isn't it? And I was thinking on the way here, actually, you can't play is so fascinating because you can't see inside that child's head. You can't see inside that child's head when they're here with you, let alone when they're at home thinking about forest school and thinking about what they might want to do or what they did, you know? So they're like, because they know they're coming every week and for a whole day, yeah. I bet you they do spend a lot of time thinking about it. Because I can remember thinking about my own play as a kid and going, oh, next time I'm in that place, in that forest or in that field, oh, next time it's the summer holidays, I'm definitely going to do that thing. And I'm going to do this thing. And I like imaginary run through the things I'm going to play. And I'm sure they must do that as well. But yeah. You cannot possibly guess what they're thinking about, and I like that. I like the fact that this is kind of their place almost. It's a level playing field that yeah, it belongs to you and we're the grown-ups, but it's very equitable and they've got
and
their
perhaps
own.
Perhaps that do you know what, I'm going to tie everything we've just said together. So I think that is partly that we run a very child-led space, very child-led, that our sense of community, I think, is very strong in that everybody who comes here to the home ed groups, or to any of our groups, I would hope, feels like they're part of the community and part of the planning and part of the decision making. And that being part of the planning means that perhaps where we were saying that in some ways you do the most planning for home ed, in some ways you do the least planning for home ed, perhaps the planning is just dispersed in that when it's the toddler group or the kindergarten, you and I are doing a higher percentage of the planning because we're setting up the space and we're facilitating this and doing whatever. With the home ed groups, everybody who comes is spending all week planning. Everybody is arriving with their own lesson plan and going, this is what I'm going to do.
Completely.
And that's what makes it a fantastic session. But you have to foster that over a long time. Like you say, children that come out of school will go, I didn't know I was autonomous. I didn't know I needed to bring anything.
And you have to be prepared for that.
Well, not bring anything physically, bring an idea. Whereas,
So you might think the session's going to go one way, and then when the children turns up with their collection of whatever from home, and actually what the session they've planned is leading a history lesson with show and tell items with the whole group, adults included, showing their artifacts and giving a 45 minute long talk about that. Yeah. And, you can't plan for that.
No.
They've planned for that.
No. cannot stop that train. That freight train is doing its lesson.
Oh, I love it.
It is brilliant. But I think we've waffled there. Yeah. I've missed being...
Missed pudding.
I've missed podcasting.